Hello, this is Peter, and I'm going to read an article found by TNT Secretary Doug Simpson in Dawson's Historical Almanac for 1902. It talks about the floods in 1901 in Todmorden and the surrounding area, and the reason for reading it out to you is because of the remarkable similarity to the Boxing Day floods of 2015, 114 years later. So, here we go. There is no fun in being washed away and left to soak. There is no need for mud and muck to be poured into houses, spoiling everything it touches and driving to despair the good housewife whose pleasure it is to have her home all spick and span and as bright as a new pin. But this was our remarkable position when on Tuesday the 12th of November 1901 our alarmed district began in serious earnest to fight our latest deluge. For not only did we get surface water, but the River Calder overflowed. Floodboards were fixed and clay applied around the edges, for the main roads and side streets were converted into a river. The rain continued and the water in the turnpike rose to a height of 3 feet, entering houses, shops, mills and other premises. The children at the schools were sent home, the mills were closed, traffic was suspended, and in some cases circuitous routes had to be taken by workpeople to reach their homes in safety. In the Burnley Valley the river wall gave way in two places and a huge stream rushed down the main road. At Gandy Bridge the water left the river in great force, and joining an overflow from Major Clough, placed the residents of Cobden in a sore plight, the newly formed streets filling with water and debris. In this district many of the people had to remove to the upper rooms of their houses, where they were imprisoned for 12 hours. A similar state of things prevailed in the neighbourhood of Blind Lane, the water attaining a height of 17.5 inches in the Weaver's Arms and other places. The flood inundated the Stansfield Hall estate, and all the mills and workshops stopped working at noon. There was a great rush of water over the level crossing at Walsden Railway Station. The famous Summit Tunnel was flooded to a great depth and all the traffic between Todmorden and Manchester was suspended. A wall collapsed near the Wesleyan Chapel at Shade, causing the main road all the way down to the Golden Lion Bridge to resemble a river, and the shops and houses along the route were all more or less flooded. Most of the shops and houses in Fielding Square were badly flooded. The water rose to a great height, over 26 inches in the Golden Lion and cottages adjoining. Thus was disaster spread, and the Todmorden and District Carriage Company were amongst the greatest sufferers. The water, which had got into the main road to the depth of several feet, was unable to rise over the Golden Lion Bridge, and consequently made its way through the Carriage Company's yard, forced down a brick wall supporting the lower shed, and washed a large quantity of stock into the canal. A massive cistern also fell with the wall. The Cooperative Society's cellar in Dale Street was completely deluged, and a similar state of things prevailed at several weaving sheds. At two or three places the looms were in water right up to the reeds, a vast quantity of warps and cloth being spoiled. The Halifax Valley suffered severely, for the streams from Walsden and Burnley Valley converged just below the market hall. At several points the river, canal and adjoining fields were one extensive sheet of water. Messrs. W. Jones and Company of Manchester, the contractors for river diversion at Sandbed, lost a portion of their plant, which was carried away, and the work done during the last 4 or 5 months was destroyed. Below Eastwood Station, the valley, for a mile, was one large lake, the river and canal being level. Hebden Bridge, like Todmorden and many outside places, suffered severely from the flood. Stubbing Bridge, a structure of iron girders and cement, was entirely destroyed, and a bridge belonging to Waterside Dye Company was rendered unsafe, the foundations at one end having moved away. Not many mills were able to resume work after the dinner hour, and in many of the premises water was several feet deep amongst the looms. On the premises of Messrs. W. Thomas and Company, the water was 4 feet 6 inches in depth, being 5 inches above the mark recorded at the height of the 1866 flood. Thus was the calamity widespread and mischievous when the weather changed after the most prolonged drought experienced for many years. So there you have it. And it seems clear that our weather problems in the 2000s are not entirely to do with climate change, or Lidl's new supermarket for that matter. Severe floods seem to have been happening for a long time.